Appreciate the good songs and most of all the good spirit that I feel here today. And I started preaching last Sunday on eternity. And eternity's for keeps. I told you then that there was more than I could cover in one sermon. And so here we are again today. If the Lord tarries, and He wills, I will be preaching again next Sunday on eternity. So guess what today's message is on? Eternity. I think that we need to understand that we're playing for keeps. There's no do-overs. We've got one chance and one chance to make it. There's not a dollar amount that you can give to a priest that is going to save you after you are dead. You have to choose Jesus Christ as your personal Savior for yourself. Ask for forgiveness. Get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There is no second chances. I believe that last Sunday we determined and we decided that there is only two places that an individual will spend eternity. One is that wonderful place called heaven. The other is that awful, dreaded place called hell. I told you there's a lot of denominations and a lot of ministers that's preaching and they're teaching that there is no hell. You're not going to stand before a God in judgment and say, this preacher never told you. There is a literal hell. And I'm going to try to preach it as hot as I can preach it. Because I don't want to see you go there. I don't want to see anybody go there. I'm looking tonight or today. There's a few questions that I have been asked, and I'm sure that maybe the questions that have come across your mind. One of the questions I get is, why should I want to go to heaven? Well, that's probably a reasonable question. And then the other question I get asked a lot is, what happens when I die? Well, that is a question that depends on if you're a Christian or you're a sinner. For time's sake, this morning, I'm going to deal with the Christians, what happens when they die. You know, the Bible teaches us some things about death and what happens when Christians die. One of the questions I get asked quite often is why do the dead in Christ rise first? I always make a joke about that, about my Baptist friends, that they're going to go to heaven before we do because the Bible says that the dead in Christ shall rise first. But it's a reasonable question. Is it not? Why do the dead in Christ rise first? Why them? And then when a Christian dies, if we're in heaven with the Lord, then why does the Bible say we are asleep? Are we asleep or are we in heaven? I don't know if anybody else has ever thought about these, but I know some have because some have asked me about them. I've got a couple of passages of scriptures I'm going to read, and I want you to keep your Bibles open. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 15. He says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Or you may say, or precede them which are asleep. He goes on and says in 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. I want you to go over now, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 17. And I'm going to read a little bit here this morning, probably more than I normally do. And the Bible says, "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins." Let's get this right. If there is no resurrection, we are lost. We're without hope. But I'm thankful that there was a resurrection. He goes on to say in verse 18, "Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished." The term "fallen asleep" is the term we use for death. Christians that have died would perish if it had not have been for a risen Savior. If it had not have been for Christ, we would perish. But thank the Lord that He is risen. Look at verse 19. "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable." If your hope is just in here and this life, we are in trouble. But he says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the," listen to this next phrase, "the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, and by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall we all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ, the first fruits," there that phrase is again, "afterward they that are Christ at his coming." He was the first one that was resurrected from the dead. He was, and so shall we be. He was the first, but he wasn't the last. I'm thinking about those. We got some apple trees there at our place. And every once in a while I'll be driving by on a mower and I'll grab me an apple off of that tree. And I'll this time of the year, they're a little bit green. I'll get a bite of that and I'll chew on it. That was the first one. Next time I go around, I'm going to get another apple. That wasn't the last one. He was the first fruits, but thank God he's not the last fruit. Because I have hope in Jesus Christ. I have hope of a resurrection after this veil of tears. After this life, I'm going to begin to live. Now, here is the question in verse number 35. "But some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come?" Do you know what kind of body you'll have? These are reasonable questions, right? I mean, questions that I'd kind of like to know the answer to. You know, the Bible gives us some instructions on biblical truths about what heaven is going to be like. And if we're going to be there through all eternity, forever and ever, ages on end, I'd kind of like to know what I'm getting into. You know, the Bible teaches us, and I know what some of you are thinking. It's actually found in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. I wrote these scriptures down. He said, "But it is as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the hearts of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him." That's a true statement. But we stop short. Let's go ahead and read what verse number 10 says with it. "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God." There's two ways the Spirit will talk to you. One, He'll speak to you. Number two, He'll speak to you through His Word. Now, there's two promises concerning our bodies found in Scripture. I'm gonna go to Luke chapter 24, and if you allow me, just for the sake of time this morning, just to paraphrase a little bit of what's going on. I promise I'm not trying to add to or take away from the Scriptures. But Jesus has just resurrected from the dead. He had been seen of many. He was on his way to, to Emmaus. And you remember the two men that was on the road with him, that began to talk with him, commune with him, and then was visiting with him as they was traveling. And they said, did our hearts burn within us? And I could just imagine what was going through their mind, that, you know, they had just seen Jesus Christ crucified by a cruel death, that hanging there between two thieves on the cross. They seen him go in the grave. They'd seen no possibility of life whatsoever. All hope in their mind was gone. I can just imagine them walking that road that day, knowing that there was something different, knowing there was something about this man that they was communing with, that he wasn't an ordinary man. Something strange. And what takes place, I'll just be honest with you. It's hard for my little head to grasp it and to get around everything that took place. They was there in the moment. I want you to look with me in verse number 31. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Verse number 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. In verse 37, but they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Can you imagine what is taking place in their minds? They was afraid that they had seen a spirit. But look with me, if you will, in verse number 39. He said, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. He didn't say that I don't have flesh and blood. Had flesh and bones. The life of the flesh is now in the blood. Your earthly body relies on blood, but the heavenly body that we're going to receive relies on the Spirit. Blood can run out. Blood can be corrupted. But we're going to have a body that is a Spirit-filled body. You know, we'll go back into the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve, they had a conditional immortality. He said that you should live forever as long as you don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But once they partook of that tree and ate of that forbidden fruit, two things happened. Their spirit died instantly. Their flesh began the process of dying. So we're going to have a body that is flesh and bone. In verse number 41, he asked a question. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have you any meat? He's talking to the disciples here. And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. So he ate. Now look at verse number 50, if you will. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Well, we're going to have a body, I think it's fair to say, like Jesus had. If he's the first fruits, and we are to come after him, we're of the same vine, the same tree that Jesus is from, we will have a body of flesh and bone. But that body will still have senses. We'll be able to, he said, handle me, touch me. He ate. We'll be able to smell. We'll be able to taste. He ate fish and honeycomb. We'll have a body, but it will be different. It will be a supernatural body. There is a supernatural body, and there is also a supernatural body. They're spelled different. S-U-P-R-A. Two different things. The supernatural means beyond natural. We'll be able to see, but we'll be able to see beyond what we can see now. We'll be able to eat. You know, at the marriage supper of the Lamb, 7 years. But we won't gain any weight. I thought I'd get more hallelujahs than that. You think about it, eating at a table that is spread for 7 years. All that you want. The biscuits and the gravy and Jared was saying the Dr. Pepper. He's convinced that's what that river of life is made out of, but I haven't found it in Scripture yet. But eat all we want to eat and never gain a pound. I'm talking about supernatural bodies. No more sickness, no more disease, no more pain. The Bible says we'll rest, but it's not because we're tired. You know, it's like getting up and in the morning and eating breakfast and going back and laying back down in bed, and just not because you're tired, just because you can. I know I've got some 70-plus-year-olds in here. Don't tell me y'all don't do that. We will rest, but not because we're tired. The Lamb is the light. There's no darkness in that city. It'll never be night. You will touch, and you'll feel the touch of love. You'll have feelings, but no pain, no hurting. The supernatural is beyond natural. But the supra is beyond nature, yet still a part of nature. We will have a body. But for instance, in the millennial kingdom, he will be here. And we will rule and be here also and reign. He will be here. We'll be a part of that. And we'll be on the earth. The supernatural body can travel at the speed of thought. He was there one instant, and then he was gone. He vanished. Even though he was here in nature. You know, the laws of nature did not hold him back. They're not going to hold us back. He ran through walls. It's like being like Superman. We can run and run and run and never get tired. A body that is unlimited. Nothing that's going to plague these heavenly bodies. Nothing will bother us. But we will rest and we won't ever get tired. A body that is not limited in any shape or form. A perfect body in a perfect place. Incorruptible, immortal. Never to fade away. We will have a body like Christ and also like ours. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 46. He says, howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. In verse 49, he says, as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 12, he tells us, now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. You know what he's saying right there? I know here on earth, I run across people all the time and they'll come up to me and say, well, Brother Denton, how are you? It's been forever since I've seen you. And I say, oh, I'm just fine. How are you? I have no idea who they are. But you realize when we get to heaven, I may have never seen them in this earthly body. But I believe that I walked up to King David and said, King David, I'm Denton Hubbard. He'll say, well, Mr. Hubbard, how are you? It's been a while. We will know. Even we will know people that we have never met in the supernatural body. I'll know relatives that have gone on before that I've never seen. I've never talked to. It will be you, but not you. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7 tells us, but then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 8 also tells us, Paul's writing here, we are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Well, which one is it? When you die, the soul does not sleep. The body sleeps. There's an old epitaph that I have read oftentimes just for humor, but it has a lot of truth in it. It says, beneath the sod and under the trees lies the body of Jonathan Pease. He's not here, there's only the pod. Pease done shelled out and went home to be with God. With a Christian, that's really what happens and what takes place. There's nothing left in that grave just but an empty shell. The body goes back to the dirt from where it come from, but the spirit and the souls goes back to heaven. our soul and our spirit goes to be with God. But listen to me. That's not what happens when a sinner dies. When a sinner dies because their spirit has not been quickened. The Bible teaches us that death and hell will give up the dead that are in them. They don't get a resurrected body. You'll read that the lake of fire is not the same thing as hell. You'll read that death and hell are cast into a lake of fire. I'm so thankful that death is going to be cast in there, because in the new heaven and the new earth that is coming, there will be no death and there will be no hell. Well, why does the dead in Christ rise first? Those that have died during the period of the rapture, when the rapture takes place, you will close your eyes in a moment's time and you'll awake with a new body. In an instant, you'll be transformed. This body will die. It will go back to the dirt from which it came. You'll instantly take on a new form. But those that are dead, they haven't got their new body yet. They've got to be resurrected with a new body. When they get that new body, I believe all this is going to take place in just a matter of just a moment. It's going to take place. But the dead, those that are dead in Christ, you know, you look around, these people that was, the church members that was standing up and worshiping earlier while they were singing and worshiping God, you may think, those people are crazy. No, they've got a spirit that is alive. The spirit of a dead person is already dead. Now Jesus, he don't get me wrong, for whosoever will, let him come. He would not that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. He don't want to see anybody go to hell. But Paul tells us that now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. There's only one or two places that you're going to go and spend eternity. All of eternity. There's no such thing as purgatory. You either have the Spirit or you don't have the Spirit. You're either saved or you're a sinner. Your name is either written down in the Lamb's Book of Life this morning or it's not. You're either washed in the blood or you're not. There's only one or two places to go. Oh, you'll live eternally. You'll have a body. Either for all of eternity in that awful place called hell that is cast into the lake of fire with death and torment, all the pain and suffering and all the things that I didn't talk about here this morning that are we have to enjoy in our heavenly body. One of two places, one of two choices. This morning, I'd like to ask you, Are you sure you're ready? The devil would like to say just a little slumber, a little sleep. You've got plenty of time. But none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. Come back to the music if you will. I know this may have been a little different this morning. But I think it's important that we know what eternity is going to be like. Choices. And the choice is yours.